introduction to the story in the Quran and the importance of these stories and the objectives of these stories. The story in the Quran came in three types. The first type, stories about the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ابتداءً من آدم، نوح، إبراهيم، موسى، and the other prophets to عيسى عليه السلام and محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. So this is the first type. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this Anba. Like when he spoke about أهل الكهف. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. So when you will find the word anba in the Quran, it refers to stories or actions happened in the past. So this is the first type. The second type, about news or actions that was happening in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi وعلى آله وسلم. So you'll find in the Quran stories about or description about Uhud and Badr and Hunayn, the battles which happened between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Kafirs at that time. And these called Akhbar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about it as Akhbar, because Akhbar to do with something going on. The people still not far from it. But when the people, they are far from it, so the Quran used the word Anba. Then, about something will happen in the future. Like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about Rome. Now, there was wars between the Persians and the Romans at that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Al-Rum. غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم بعد وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين. So he mentioned about or spoke about something will happen in the near future. So these are the three types of the stories in the Quran. Now, the most of the stories in the Quran talks about prophets. So we'll find the story of Adam, the story of Musa, the story of Ibrahim, the story of Nuh, the story of Lut, Sulaiman, Dawood, Shu'aib. And there is other stories which is not related to prophets, but it related to people who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the story of Ahl al-Kahf, which is we read Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen every Friday. Now, the stories of the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them, we'll find them, except Surah Yusuf, they are scattered here and there. So we'll find the story of Musa alayhi salam, for example, mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, mentioned in Al-Araf, in Hud, in Naml, Al-Qasas, Shu'ara, and at the end of the Mus'haf in Surah Al-Nazi'at and so on. So you'll find the story, the same, about the same prophet mentioned once here, once there, once there. But subhanAllah, every time you'll find that story talks about a certain thing which suits the surah. And this is what I'd like you to understand. That every surah in the Quran has its identity. They call it بالعربي الوحدة الموضوعية للسورة. That the whole surah has one subject. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention part of the story of that prophet in that surah which suits the main objective of the surah. And the same with other surahs. If you remember, in my reminder 2 days ago, when I spoke about Surah Al-Anbiya, that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya spoke about 14 prophets, mentioned names of 14 prophets. Some of them in details, some of them just mentioned their name. And for all of these, as I mentioned, there is two important things. One, to say that all these prophets, what happened to them is a regular thing, that something beyond your imagination, like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Ibrahim alayhi salam from the fire, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes Zakaria to have a child when he was 80 or 86 years old, and so on. So you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention the stories of these prophets in that surah to serve one objective. And that objective in this surah, to say to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which the Quran revealed to him, that don't worry about what's going on. What's going on in Mecca doesn't say that in 10 or 12 years you will establish the first Islamic state on earth after a long time, and your followers will be one day what we are witnessing now, more than 1 billion people. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was at that situation in Mecca, and the whole people who believed in him, about 80 or 100 people, with a lot of pressure and torture and all of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked to tell him that don't worry about what you can see in your eyes. There is a plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the second he chose you, because he chose you when he created the earth and the heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan from that second. So the plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, it is beyond your imagination, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or your expectations. So, and he gave him examples of four or five prophets to show the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you need to be patient, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change all the rules on this earth to serve the main objective of sending the prophets, which is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here when we see in the stories of the prophets, all the time we find there's actions, news, and there is a person. The person is the prophet. The actions is the stories. Now, if the Quran is telling us only news or stories, and the objective of telling these stories is to tell us about the story in itself, just like when we listen to the news and we'd like to know what's going on, so we sit until we hear the whole news, or we collect the news together and we hear it in the same time. No. The idea of sending the stories or revealing the stories in the Quran is not for just narrating these stories, or it's not for fun, or just you sit and entertain yourself by listening to stories, or like what the mothers they do sometimes when they read a story to their child before they go to sleep. No, it's not for this. It's not for sleep. It is for make you awake. This is why, as I mentioned earlier, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put these stories in different places. And every time you'll find the Quran concentrate in certain part of the life of that prophet alayhi salam. Just an example. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about Musa. But in which regard? He spoke about Musa, what happened between him and the Jews, and how the Jews at that time, they rejected the faith, and they also broken all their promises with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they asked Musa for many things, like asking Musa alayhi salam to show them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of them. قَالُوا أَرِنَا اللَّهَ جَهْرًا فَأَخْذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. Now why in Surah Al-Baqarah all the story about Musa, all of it about his story with the Jews, all of it about Fir'aun, only two ayahs. But the rest of it about what the Jews did to Musa. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time was in Al-Madinah. And when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Al-Madinah, these people used to say to the Arabs at that time, there is a prophet coming and we'll follow him and we will kill you. They are saying this to the Arabs. And when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, they started to find any point to make a big story about it. They started to make rumors. They started to play with the minds of the people to make them stay away from Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah exposed them and told them about details of their life. Details of what they did to the previous prophets. Details about what they did to Musa, which is not in the Torah. Because the Torah that they have doesn't have all these details. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned all these details in Surah Al-Baqarah for three reasons. The first reason, to show these the Jews in Al-Madinah that what you have, Torah, is revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but doesn't have all the truth. Number two, to show the Muslims at that time that those people who try to say to you, we are the people of the book, we have the knowledge, that they don't have the full knowledge. Number three, to tell these people, or to tell the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look, this is what these people did to their prophet. Now, be aware of following their example. Because if you follow their example, then you will be misguided. Now, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah about Musa. But when he spoke in the other surahs, in the Makki surahs, he didn't mention the relation between Musa and the Jews. He spoke about the relation of Musa and whom? Fir'aun. Because the idea there is to talk about the message. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time, he needs something to make him steadfast in his da'wah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the stories of Musa and the other prophets to tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what you are facing happened to the other prophets before, so you have to be steadfast and you have to be patient in what you are approaching and carry on in your mission and message, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this message and will make this deen prevail, but you have to be patient. Now, some people, when they read the Quran, they will find, as I mentioned, the story in different places. And they said, this means that this is tikrar. Tikrar means repetition. And even some of these Orientals, when they spoke about the Quran, they tried to say, look at this Quran, you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about Musa in this surah, then two surahs after he spoke about him, nearly the same ayahs, the same actions. But it was easy and simple just to put all this in one surah, and that's it. Now the scholars, they discussed this matter, and they came with very beautiful explanation to that. One of them, Imam al-Suyuti, he said, التكرير أبلغ من التأكيد. So التكرير, when you mention the thing 3-4 times, it will influence the person who is listening. When you say it many times, then this makes that person understand what you are talking. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. When he used to say something very important, he used sometimes to say it 3 times. Like you'll find in Hijjat al-Wada', when he said this, he said, Allahumma hal ballaght? Allahumma fashhad. Allahumma hal ballaght? Allahumma fashhad. Allahumma hal ballaght? Allahumma fashhad. So he used to say the dua some important things, he used to say it three times. Why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he'd say it in the same time? For one reason. And the reason is to confirm what he is saying. The Imam Suyuti is saying, وَهُوَ مِنْ مَحَاسِنِ الْفَصَاحَةِ يعني التكرير, the repetition shows that the one who is talking means that he is eloquent. And he said, no one can say the same story in different places, in different way, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what you find. You'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about Surah, about Musa, about Ibrahim. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he spoke about Musa and he was coming back from Madian to Egypt and he saw a fire. Then when he went there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him. Then he told him that he's a prophet. Then he gave him the two miracles, the stick and his hand. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about this in Surah Al-Araf, spoke about this in Surah Taha, spoke about this in Surah Al-Shu'ara. In every place, he spoke about it in different way. And every time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lighten certain part of the story. As I mentioned, to serve the main purpose of that surah, which is revealed in it. So, to tell a story in different places, with different words, with different way of narration, there is no one can do this except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Baqillani, in his beautiful book about I'jaz al-Quran, he said, I'adatul mawdu' bisuwar mukhtalifa i'jaz. So when you say one story in different ways, this is in itself is i'jaz. And this mentioning, this tikrar, mentioning these stories in different places serves different objectives. I'll just tell you some of them. The first one, at-tahaddi, the challenge. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged the Arabs at that time when the Quran revealed to bring at the beginning, fa'tu bimithli in Surah Al-Isra. So bring similar to it. They cannot do this. Then he challenged them in Surah Hud, fa'tu bi'ashri suwarin mithlihi muftarayat. And even here we'll find a miracle in the number. That if you count how many surahs before Surah Hud, we'll find only 10 surahs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُورٍ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ. So bring 10 surahs like what revealed before or what mentioned before Surah Hud, which is a proof that how we'll find the Quran now, these surahs, start from Fatiha and with the Nas, is a miracle in itself. And it is from Allah. Because there is one opinion you'll hear that this is only done by the Sahaba. The Sahaba, they made ijtihad and they said, okay, we'll put the long surahs at the beginning and the short surahs at the end. Now, when you examine this, you'll find this is not the truth. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran in a certain way, in a certain order. He put every word, every ayah, every surah in its position for a purpose, because the whole thing is for a purpose. So it cannot be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the whole Quran and then leave it to the people to put this surah here or this surah there. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he organized this in his way to serve the purposes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Quran for. And one of the other objectives is to attract the people. Now, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that time, he was making his da'wah and using what? What he was using? in his da'wah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Quran. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll not find, for example, there is many hadith of Makki period. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the people talk to him, ask him, he will say to them, okay, sit and listen. What he will recite to them? Al-Quran. As in the famous story when Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, when he came to him and gave him the offer, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, Hal anhay, did you finish? He said, yes. He said, then listen. And he read to him about 30 ayahs of Surah Fussilat. And he said to him, this is my answer to your offer. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say to him, okay, I'd like to discuss your offer now. You are saying you'd like to make a king? No, I don't want to be a king. I don't want money. I am, alhamdulillah, I have money. You are saying that if you have mental issues, we'll find a doctor for you. Alhamdulillah. I am saying, I don't have. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say this because he doesn't want to go in their way. In their, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the answer to be from the Quran. The same we'll find, for example, Mus'ab ibn Umair. When he went to Al-Madinah, and they came to him, and Usayd ibn Hudayr, he said to him, why you came to here, and you are just disturbing the people, and making all these slaves against us? What's your problem? He said to him, listen, if you'd like what I am saying, then follow. If you don't like it, that's it. So what Mus'ab ibn Umair said to Usayd ibn Hudayr? He read to him what? Al-Quran. So Al-Quran was the tool that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used at that time for da'wah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come to these people and talk to them. And will come to the other people, talk to them about the other things. Now, if he keeps saying the same words every day, they'll say to him, okay, we heard this. Is there anything new now? But, subhanAllah, he will say the surah now, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him. Then after 2-3 weeks, or maybe 1 month, he will say another surah. Now, this surah maybe have some information, but it will be introduced in different way now. This will make these people attracted more to what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying. One of the other objectives to make the advice stronger in the hearts of the people, because when you say something, remind the people about patience and give them a story of Ibrahim. Then the other day, you talk about patience and give him story about Ayyub. Then about patience and you give him story about Yusuf. And this will make these people who are listening to the Quran, the mushriks, and also the Muslims who was listening at that time to the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to make this more stronger in their hearts. And one of the other objectives is for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَقَالُوا لَوْ لَأُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. So they asked, why this Quran didn't come in one go? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we are making that the Quran will come in portions, in surahs, in chapters, لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, so will make your heart stronger and you will be steadfast more in preaching this message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the other objectives to show you the importance of the subject, like the tawheed. Now when you check in the Quran the stories about Ibrahim alayhi salam, you'll find all of them, the first part of it, talking about Tawheed. That he will ask. Once he asked his father, مَا هَذِهِ الْأَصْنَامِ, what are these أَصْنَامِ التي أَنْتُمْ لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ. So what's this asnam? What this idol that you are worshipping? Then in other surahs, he will ask the people about this asnam, these idols. And when he demolished them, he asked them again about this. So the idea here, to repeat the story, to make or to show us the importance of a subject. And this subject is the Tawheed. And we'll find this again in Surah Hud, for example. In Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the stories of many prophets. Nuh, Hud, Salih, part of Musa alayhi salam, Lut, Shu'aib. And you'll find the start of the surah is أَنُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرٌ. The start of every story in Surah Hud with this. أُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرٌ. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have no other God except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we understand from this, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned all these stories at that time, especially in this surah, to confirm one fact. What's the fact? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who worthy of worship subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last point I'd like to mention about the objectives, again, wahdat al-risala, that the unity of the message. So all of them came with one message, as I just mentioned. أُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهِ غَيْرٍ. So when you look at these stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and all of them have one objective, and that objective is عبادة الله subhanahu wa ta'ala, and liberate the minds of the people from worshipping different idols, different gods, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these stories in different surahs. So this is just introduction, brothers, about the stories in the Quran. The last thing I'd like to say, that all these stories, when we read it in the Quran, we have to understand what revealed in the Quran about these stories is the absolute truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إن هذا لهو القصص الحق. So the stories here is حق, the absolute truth. Why this important? Because in the time Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people, they have the Torah in the Medina. And what in the Torah? You'll find stories. You'll find all these stories, like Ibrahim, stories of Yusuf. We'll find it in the Torah. But what's the difference? The difference that in the Torah, you'll find true stories. I am talking about the Torah, which in the hands of the Jews at that time. I'm not talking about the Torah, which revealed to Musa earlier. Because in the Torah that was available in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a lot of truth, and also there is many of misconceptions. There is many of fabricated, many of changes, and the Quran challenged that and exposed all these things that they are saying. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he exposed them. I'll just give you an example. The Jews, they have originally in the Torah that if a married person commits zina, he will be stoned to death. So they ruled by this for a certain time. Then some of them rabbis, they find this is too harsh to stone to them to death. Let us do something else, which is make these people exposed. So what they said, we'll put the one who will do this, we'll put him on a donkey, the other way back. So instead of facing the people, he'll face the other way and go around the village. And the people, all of them, will swear at him and just try to show the people that this is something wrong. And they used to do this for a long time. Now, in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an incident of zina happened, and some of their rabbis, they said, we'd like to see what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, as they like to test. So they said, they went to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, we'd like to do the had to punish these people. What do you have in the Quran? He said, I have in the Quran al-rami, to stone to death. They said, no, this is not what we find in the Torah. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them, okay, bring the Torah. So they brought the Torah. And the person put his hand on the ayah in the Torah where it's saying stone to death. And he's starting to read from the top and the bottom. He said, look, there is nothing to say about stoning to death. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, move your hand. So when he moved his hand, he said to him, now read. So when he read the ayah of al-Rajm, the ayah of stoning to death. So Al-Quran exposed him, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam exposed him. So it is very important for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell us and to make it clear to us that the stories in the Quran is the absolute truth, al-haq, which is goes with the main theme of the Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about it at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. What he said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. No doubt about it. Now, after you read Surah Al-Fatiha and start to read the Quran, you have to receive this Quran according to this rule. What's the rule? لا ريب فيه. Because if you have doubt about it, close it. You don't need to read it. But when you read this Quran, treating it that it's the absolute truth, no doubt about it, okay, carry on now. And remember, you admitted to the fact that it's لا ريب فيه, then you have to apply with the commands which is in it. Because at the beginning, you agreed that this Quran, what? Remember the word, la rayba fi. Because if there is any rayb in this Quran, if there is any doubt, finished. We cannot learn from a book that there is doubt about it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that from the beginning that there is la rayba fi, there is no doubt about it. And I think maybe I mentioned the story about, I think, German scientist. And this story mentioned by Dr. Zaghloul al-Najjar. And he said, I was talking to a German scientist and I gave him the copy of the Quran to study and read. So he read only, he read al-Fatiha, then he read the first ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah. So he came back and he gave him the book. And he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He said, Subhanallah. That's very strange that you read only the first parts and you became a Muslim. He said, I am a scientist and I wrote many books. And every time I write a book, in the introduction of the book, I say, please, if there is any mistakes, any comments, anything, please write to me. And in the second edition, I'll change. The third edition, I make additions. Because all the time, I feel this is incomplete. The only one can say that his book is complete is Allah. No one can say this book is complete except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, from tomorrow, we'll start to talk about the stories of the prophets, alayhim salatu wassalam. The main objective, brothers, is not the details. The objective is the lessons that we can learn and how beautiful the Quran presented these stories in a very beautiful way, in a very, very miraculous way. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى لي ولكم أن ينفعنا بالقرآن العظيم وأن يعلمنا منه ما ينفعنا وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.